my dog Lexi and me. I miss all of you so much. I hope you're doing well, staying safe, and looking forward to the day we can all be together again to worship God. Take care. See you soon, I hope.
Hi, everybody. I miss you. I miss coming to church. I miss being there. I have trouble going online, so I'm not really getting the services. But I've been okay, and I'm hoping to get back soon.
Good morning, and I want to say hi to all of my Hope family. I'm so sorry I haven't seen you, but aren't we all? You know, it's really hard being alone all the time, and so I hope all of you are not losing heart. Remember, Jesus was all by himself most of his life. So I just hope that we can all get together soon, and I hope everybody's doing well, and hang in there.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are at this fine day. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship together this morning. First, please note that, in case you haven't figured it out or heard about it on any of the news stations, the mail is running a little slow, and or a lot slow. And so, you know, we know that there is a huge backlog for a variety of reasons, but that affects some of our church mailings. And so if you're getting things from us late, we apologize. We don't really have control over that type of stuff. One of those things, you know, we sent out pledge cards. We sent out some end-of-the-year letters. We send out weekly mailers and things like that, and they're getting behind. And so we apologize for that and ask that you bear with us as we, you know, navigate that. But please note that we have a lot of digital communication options that may help. So if you would like to make a pledge and you haven't gotten a pledge card and you're thinking, you know, I heard they mailed them out and he's talked about it, but I haven't seen one, you know, that's probably because it's somewhere in the stream that is our mail service. And instead, you could, you know, send that in digitally. So you could email us, finance@themissionofhope.org, and that will get to the business manager, who will then be able to see that. But that's the only person who would see it. And so if you want to send that in, please, you know, use that. If you need to reach out to me, you can do that. If you have, you know, donations you wish to make, you can do that through our website online instead of sending things through the mail. Things of that nature. So we just ask that you bear with us. We know that the mail is slow. And please use all the digital options available to you to try and help make sure you don't get anything lost in the shuffle. Also, speaking of digital, please remember that we have Sunday school online every Sunday. It goes live sometime between 6 and 9 in the morning. So if you're getting up and having your coffee and it's not there, just wait a little bit. It'll pop up. But you go to our website and you move your mouse, but don't click, over the Sunday School tab. Two boxes will appear. One says Junior Church and one says Youth Sunday School. Then just click on which one of those you would like, and you'll see videos not only for, you know, there's videos there for today, but videos from weeks previous, and you can go back and watch and participate in Sunday School looking backwards. And so we hope that you'll continue to join us online for those and worship. And so now, even though we are in a digital space, we know that we are gathered together. And so let us take a deep breath collectively, no matter where we are. Slow our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and listen to our prelude and prepare ourselves for worship. Thank you.
Please join in our call to worship. It is time to become focused, not on our wants or complaints, but on God. In the silent places of my soul, I turn to God, for God alone is our rock and salvation. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the good news of God, saying, "The time has come. The realm of God is at hand." The realm of God is not very far from any of us, for in God we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, "Repent and believe the good news. The time has come." In the silent places of my soul, I turn to God, for God alone is our rock and salvation. Please join in singing our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Move into our time of prayer, and as we do so, let us begin with our unison prayer. Our gracious, eternal God, we thank you that Jesus' call to his disciples came in such an uneventful way. Contrary to the wisdom of the world, he did not start with the privileged and the wealthy and the powerful. He did not begin with those who had little need and little desire for change. He began with some very simple folk. He began with some fishermen. We pray that his call, "Come, follow me," might again reverberate through our souls today. May we hear again the challenge to be your disciples. May we hear again the message of this one who brings good news. May we hear again the invitation to come to you, all you who are weary and heavy laden. May we hear again eternal words of hope, which tell us that however dark the world becomes, the darkness cannot ever overcome the radiant light of this Holy One, Jesus. May we hear again those simple words, "Come, follow me," and may we come just as we are and know again the depth of your grace and love for us. Give us the power to bring change and transformation to the peoples of the world as did those early fishermen. Give us the power to provide the same kind of hope for the world weary as they brought to theirs. Give us the vision of a world transformed. We pray for those whose health is a constant and major concern. Be especially with those whose health is compromised so much that they have no hope of ever feeling totally well again. For those, we ask that you give courage for the frustrating obstacles of life. Amen. Now let us continue our time of prayer as we join in our silent and prayers of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and we will lift them up using both reflection and music to do so. Lord, we lift up much this day, and we have many and much that weighs upon us. We carry, each and every one of us, a burden, something that weighs us down and gets in the way of the call that you place upon us. We ask your help in easing and removing from us that burden. We ask your help and your power in giving us the ability to answer the call. Lord, there are many who struggle, and especially those who struggle because of health and family situations over which they have little to no control. And we name them before you in our hearts, but also those that have been lifted up during this week. And so we pray for Ed and Sue, for Paula and Carrie, Don Harvey, Nicole, Autumn. We pray for all of those who are struggling to get by each and every week, each and every day. We pray for all those who care for others, especially the ones who are ill. We pray for those we have asked to serve in positions of leadership, that they would be discerning, prayerful, and seek out wisdom, putting others before themselves at all times. We pray for those who struggle with insecurity, especially when it comes to their housing. And especially we ask for that during these times and these cold days that we are within. Lord, we find ourselves in a time and a space in which a day can feel like a week, and a week can feel like a month, and yet at the end of a month, we ask ourselves, where has the time gone? Lord, help us to truly find rest from all of that which surrounds and assails us. Help us to truly find time to spend with you, unburdened by all that is part of this world that threatens to overwhelm us. Help us always, O Lord, to be ready to hear you when you say, come, follow me. Help us, O Lord, to be a people of discernment, of prayer, who seek out wisdom, who in all things seek to draw closer to you. And if words should fail us, if our prayers should grow thin, our days grow long, and our souls weary, help us to at least remember the prayer that you taught us, that we could say it and draw closer to you, even if but for a moment, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen. Let us join in our next hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Good morning. I'd like to talk with you today about being called. We make and receive calls for many different reasons. When we're faced with an emergency, perhaps somebody's very sick, or there's an accident, we might call 911, and an operator answers the call and sends for help. Or maybe a friend comes to our house and asks if you can come out and play. That's another kind of call, and if your parents say it's okay, you follow your friend outside to have a good time. Even in nature, we see the idea of calling. During the fall season, birds migrate from their summer feeding areas and head for a warmer climate to spend the winter. In fact, you may have heard geese call to one another as they fly into the sky and form their V formation. A mother duck calls her babies with a quack, and they obey and follow where she leads. Well, the story in the Bible that Pastor Andrew is going to talk about today teaches us another type of call. As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. They were fishermen, so they were casting their nets into the sea. And Jesus called to them, "Come, follow me." Well, immediately they dropped their nets, and they left him there, and they followed Jesus. These two men, Simon and Andrew, answered Jesus' call to follow him and help him spread the good news of God's love. You know, each one of us is also called to spread God's love. We're also given the chance to follow. You may not realize it, but we're a lot like Simon and Andrew. Well, we're not walking right behind Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, but we are following Jesus by doing what he's called us to do, by loving each other with the special love that he showed us, by helping each other, by serving each other, and by welcoming one another whenever we can. So as you go through this next week, follow God's call and try to spread his love with the words that you say and the things that you do. Let's say a prayer. Loving God, help us answer your call to spread the good news of your love. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. And now it's time for our first scripture lesson from the third chapter of Jonah. The Lord's word came to Jonah a second time. "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and declare against it the proclamation that I am commanding you." And Jonah got up and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's word. Now Nineveh was indeed an enormous city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah started into the city, walking one day, and he cried out, "Just 40 days more, Nineveh will be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on mourning clothes, from the greatest of them to the least significant. God saw what they were doing, that they had ceased their evil behavior. So God stopped planning to destroy them, and he didn't do it. May God add a blessing to this reading.
Now, before I read our second lesson for today, I just want to give a quick, "Hey, Nora, I know you're at home watching on the TV and getting restless. Hopefully you're listening to Mom." But our second lesson today is from the Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter, verse 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." And as Jesus passed along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away they left their nets and followed him. After going a little farther, he saw James and John, Zebedee's sons, in their boat repairing the fishing nets. At that very moment, he called them, and they followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. The greatest show on earth. Now, I think often that's attributed to anything that P.T. Barnum would have done. But his sales pitch, I don't think, was ever as good as Jesus' sales pitch, because I think it took P.T. Barnum more than come follow me, especially when he was starting out, to get people to come and see what he had going on. And so when Jesus is just starting his ministry, because here in Mark's gospel, we have just started. We're in the first chapter, and Jesus says, I've got some good news. It's about God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives. Trust in it. And then he's walking along the Galilee Sea, and he sees Simon and Andrew, and they're fishing. And he says, come follow me. And they just leave everything they have. Now, I have never really sold many things in my life. I worked in a dollar store, and I worked in a grocery store, but you know, people came there specifically to find items. I never went out in public and tried to huck anything, you know. It's still a word, right? Huck? People still huck things? I don't know. Hucksters. I know that was a thing. Anyway, so I've never done that. You know, I've never gone out in public and tried to, you know, pitch anything and sell anybody on anything. But I have to imagine that going out and just saying, hey, you, follow me, and having them do it would be a pretty good impression to make. That people would sit there and say to themselves, what does this guy have that nobody else does? Why are they following him so quickly and so excitedly? I really like the way that the lectionary has done this for today, pairing our Mark scripture with our Jonah scripture, because I really think they inform each other very well as we talk about what it means to answer God's call. Now, United Methodists talk about call all the time. I went through the ordination process in the Methodist Church, which means I had to talk and or write about my call probably at least 30 to 50 times. That is like the first question that any Methodist will ask you when you say you think you want to be a pastor and you're working going through the process and you believe God has called you, and they'll say, well, tell me about your call. And unfortunately, my call was not as exciting as, you know, Simon and Andrew, or even James and John. My call was more of a whisper. It wasn't a, come follow me. And I was like, all right, let's go. But we talk about all the time this idea of being called. Now, there are lots of different calls. There are calls to action, calls to arms, call to alarm. Yeah, call to alarm, that usually means you're probably asleep. There's also, let's see, calls for peace, calls for change, and potentially most importantly, calls for love. There are calls of all kinds, but the call that God gives us is about not only an action, but also at the same time a reaction. When we are called by God, it's not only about what God is asking us to go and do, and it's also about who God wants us to be. To be called by God is a simultaneous, transformational call on your own life and also a call into a wider world of the mission and kingdom of God at work. Now, in the United Methodist Church, we would call this personal and social holiness. The idea that our lives, our hearts, should be transformed by encounter with God, and that we should strive and become more and more holy, more and more like Christ in all that we do. Not only in how we live our lives, and not only in how we relate and identify and talk with God, but in how we do that in both of these aspects. We must grow in our personal faith to answer God's call. But if we grow in our personal faith and we fail to understand how God then calls us to reflect that into the world, we have not fully heard God's call. And we must be of and in the world that we would be working for change to help everyone have better lives. But if we do this without being grounded in why we are called to this in the first place and who God wants us to be and why God wants us to be doing this work in the world, we risk being burnt out and losing sight of that call. And so we must maintain this balance. And so this is why I like this contrast between Jonah and Mark, because Jonah is probably more relatable to many of us than Simon and Andrew or James and John. Because Jonah is called, and as we see here in our scripture today, it says the word of God came to Jonah a second time because he's already been called once. This is the third chapter of Jonah, and I don't know that many of us are as familiar with Jonah chapter 3 or Jonah chapter 4. You know, when we're kids, we learn all about Jonah chapter 1 and 2. Jonah says no. Jonah goes on a boat. Jonah gets in the storm. Jonah gets thrown out of the boat. Jonah gets eaten by a fish. Jonah says, I'm sorry. Jonah gets put out of the fish. All is well. But in Jonah 3 and 4, we see that Jonah doesn't really understand his call. Jonah struggles against his call. Jonah says, fine, I'll go and ask them to change their hearts and their lives. And they do it. And then Jonah gets angry that they do it. And then he gets mad at God and he sits outside the city. He's like, you promised me a fireworks show. You're going to burn this whole thing to the ground and you aren't doing it. Now I'm upset because you called me to do a job and I did the job and they actually listened to me and I don't like that. Jonah is more relatable because Jonah is like us. We say no. We find excuses. We want to try and go somewhere that we think is better. The grass is always greener on the other side. Further from God, flashier. We can hide from the Lord wherever we are going. And then sometimes we will listen and we'll do what God has called us to do, but we'll do it grudgingly. And then we'll get mad if it doesn't go how we want it to go. Whereas in Jesus calling his disciples, he just says, come follow me, change your hearts and lives. And they're like, all right, let's do it. Which is the polar opposite of Jonah. But both Jonah and Simon and Andrew and James and John have something in common, which is that no matter when they finally answered the call, they all still have growing to do. So if you're saying to yourself, I answered the call years ago, or if you're saying to yourself, you know, like Jonah, I've run away for a long time and I'm just now answering the call. Both Jonah and these four disciples, along with the other disciples that we'll meet later, still have growing to do, and throughout their stories in the Bible, we see that constantly. That having their hearts and lives changed does not necessarily mean having it all figured out. That's why this is the greatest show on earth, being called by God. Because it shows us how we have potential. And it shows us what we are capable of, but it also reveals to us that we all have work to do. That all of us have growing areas we need to focus on and attributes we need to work on. It's the greatest show on earth, being called by God, because it allows us, when we live fully into our call, not just to follow God, but to show others what it looks like to understand we're not perfect. To show others what it looks like to work on ourselves, and to show others what it looks like to follow God. That following God does not mean putting on a fake show, like P.T. Barnum is famous for. That following God means acting like we've got it all figured out all of the time, but that following God and answering the call means understanding our own human limitation, our own failures, learning from those, and showing the power of repentance, acceptance, growth, and love. Because underneath everything that we do, God calls us because God loves us and wants us to be in deeper relationship both with God, but also with each other. Because when we care for our neighbor, we find God. And when we spend time in prayer, we find God. When we answer the call, whether in the world or in our hearts, we draw closer to God and we say to God, change me, that I could show somebody else the potential that they have in their life. Amen. Let us join now in our next hymn, number 2130, The Summons. Ourselves in our time of offering. I know we are not here to put our offerings on the altar, though those things that were given to us throughout the week have been placed there this day. But as we offer up our gifts and our prayers, our service and our witness, as we offer up ourselves, our whole lives, all that we are and have to the Lord, let us have a moment of silent reflection, no matter where we find ourselves. Now, no matter where you are, unless it's the car, please stand and let us join in our benediction, doxology. That's what I mean, doxology. Lord, help us to live more fully as your disciples. As we remember our baptism, renew our covenant, and strive to draw closer to you this day, strengthen us for the journey. Help us to live more generously, more fully, and more gratefully each and every day. Bless the gifts that we give, that they may be fruitful and multiply to do the work of your kingdom. Amen. So may you know that if you have heard the call, whether it be recently or not so recently, or that you have not heard the call yet, that God calls all of us. God strengthens us, sustains us, and challenges us through our call. So may you have the courage to pick up the phone when the call rings, even if it's a number you don't recognize right away. Let us join in our benediction response, the Song of Hope.